Hi, I'm Meredith.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to I'm Not Scared, You're Scared,
a horror movie podcast.
If you're a fan of the show, please like and follow us on iTunes and Spotify and review us. It'll help spread the word.
Also, you can follow us on Instagram at I'm Not Scared, You're Scared, or email us at I'm Not Scared, You're Scared at gmail.com.
Thanks for joining us. We're doing our very last movie for the summer.
Yes.
Jeepers Creepers, the first one released in 2001.
That's right.
Very it's been exciting. A bit.
It's not a fresh pick.
Yeah, I graduated high school that year. So. Yeah.
So just yesterday.
I'm a bit older and grayer since then.
Speaking of old and gray.
And grayer.
What's new with you?
Yeah, old and gray.
Before you forget everything with your geriatric mind.
I know. Well, I did Lobster Fest last week. It was really fun. Fest. We drove a million years. It's a lot nicer, though. I feel like it's a lot more of a pleasant drive going north than going to L.A.
100%. Yeah, the California Central Valley leaves something to be desired in terms of scenery.
Yeah. So I felt like maybe if I had to make the drive north all the time, I'd be like, ugh, yuck.
Enough trees already.
Yeah. But it was nice. And I helped drive this time. I helped drive back.
You weren't just a passenger princess?
No. Because Victor was like, I'm a little tired. I'm like, all right, I'll drive. So I did like 2.5 hours, something kind of negligible. But I feel like I helped.
But now you'll be able to say that anytime. He can't be like you never drive.
I helped.
Be like, except remember that one time?
I turned on some ghost podcast. I'm like, ooh, spooky. And the driving through the forest. So we went to Lobster Fest. We had it was like a beautiful cabin that we rented. Mm-hmm. And we had, it was just for a handful of us from the guild. And we called it the Olds House because it's time for sleeping.
Over 25 is considered old.
You are not allowed here. So it was like 40 and up. And Victor was like the one person who was allowed to stay. And then the other house was really, really nice. And a bunch of people were there. There were 17 of us total who came out. And Liz, my maid of honor, BFF, lives like 2 hours from there. So she came and crashed.
Oh, that's nice. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was fun. And she's very like outgoing, so yeah.
Doesn't
next
matter
to
that
me.
She didn't know anyone.
Yeah, she just was like, so what's going on with you? And like, we'll talk to anybody. And,
yeah.
So it was fun because I felt like she was there, but I didn't feel like obligated to be like hold her hand or anything.
Yeah.
Like, through social situations, but and then at the end, we came back, and then the very next day we went and got our Peppy.
Yeah.
Who is. She's so cute. She's already learning how to go to the bathroom outside for treats. She's very food motivated.
Aren't we all?
But man, yeah. I don't like the puppy face.
No. Is she crying a lot?
Well, she's learning. You know, she's separated from... I mean, and let me just like preface this with like, I understand completely.
Yeah.
Like that's just how it is, right?
Yeah.
But doesn't mean
she's
a
baby.
Like it. Yeah, yeah. But she's like separated from her litter mates. So she's lonely in her crate. We're crate treating her. That's always rough.
Mm-hmm.
But with her last dog and a dog I had a long, long time ago, I'd be like, it was worth it. Because I'd be like, go to your house. And then that was like where they felt comfortable sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And it was totally fine. And they
makes
just
your
like,
life
they just like walked
too.
In and like, all right. And then would walk in, go to bed and let them out in the morning and then live their lives like that without any kind of where will the dog sleep? Where is the dog or whatever? So she's been fussing a lot, but it's becoming less and less each night because I'm like, this is your new normal. So you better get over it. But she's cute. She's a German short haired pointer and she has these grayish moss green eyes and she's so beautiful and she's sweet and so that's what's new with me.
Very nice.
What's new with you? And school starts tomorrow.
Yeah,
I get to go back tomorrow.
I'm sorry, I still have a week. Well, I have I guess, you know, one of the things that's new with me is that is also school coming up. And even though like our students don't arrive until a week after your students, but we do still have all of our initial meetings and everything this coming week. I'm looking forward to it. You know, it's nice to have a purpose again.
always feel like, ugh. And then I'm like, I kind of actually like being back in the swing of things.
Yeah. And it's also like, you know, going into a year where there's nothing, there's nothing really like troublesome going on, you know? And like for me, you know, with new colleagues or issues or changes, like you with like, having to change classrooms a bunch of times and having to deal with that, or the years that, you know, we've had construction during the summer and there's, you know, all of this like bullshit and upheaval, like when you're coming back and it's kind of a little stressful, especially if it's a year like this, you know, for me. And I know you got to stay in the same classroom
for once.
And it makes going back a lot more enjoyable.
Yes. I don't feel like I'm dreading it. And it's not like let me be honest. It's not like I dread going back to work, but it was like, it's going back and like having to like fly by the seat of my pants for a year while I'm trying to learn a new grade level. And you know, it's just tricky, but I'm glad I don't have to do that too. So,
yeah. So I think that'll be pretty cool to get back into that, in this coming week. And then yesterday we had, as Meredith knows, because she was there,
I was there and socially awkward. You're welcome.
We had a little gathering for to celebrate mine and Tom's 20th wedding anniversary, which technically isn't until next Wednesday. But it was nice. It wasn't, you know, we start out with a much bigger guest list, and, you know, with life and people and schedules and everything, it ended up being a pretty intimate gathering, which was really largely just like my friends. Because Tom, like his, you know, his best friend lives in Spain. And
that's
he's not.
A, yeah, like, that's a little bit of a trek to come out for a birthday, or excuse me, not birthday, so
any kind of party,
brunch.
But yeah. Yeah. And a lot of his family that's local had conflicts. And so, yeah, it just, the bulk of it was just like, you know, my good friends. So one of the highlights of it was having like three of my four bridesmaids together again.
That's fun.
Which is, you know, they've all continued to be a part of my life this whole time. So it's not like I never see them. I see them often. So it was kind of a low key fun day.
That's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I guess that's it. You know, summer's waning. So I'm really going to have to delete this game off my phone because I'm not going to have like 3 to 4 hours a day to spend on it anymore.
You're like, occupy yourselves. What, read, I don't know, To Kill a Mockingbird or something.
They're sixth graders. They're like, what?
And you're like, symbolism.
Symbolism. I'm like, here's Lolita.
Oh, God.
And they're like, Miss Kale, I don't think this is appropriate.
Like, well, it's on a list somewhere.
Somebody's list.
The good or the bad list. Yeah. I can't remember which.
They are pretty sweet, though, when you, like, give them something that they, like, consense is or believe might be inappropriate. Because I had, just in my library, I have Huckleberry Finn. Mm. And it's not wasn't assigned, but it was one of the choice novels that one of my students last year, you know, picked up and actually muscled through, which is, you know, saying something. And he came up to me after and he's like, I don't know if you should have that in the classroom. You know, it has some bad language in it. And I was like, really? And he goes, yeah. And I was like, oh, do you mean the N-word? And he was like, yeah, it's in there a lot. And I was like, you know, that's a really good observation that's problematic for us now. But, you know, not only like, and so we're talking about like the time period it was written and also the characters that were included in it. Like that was the language that they used. So even if it was written nowadays, if it was being written about that time period, you know, but it was cute because he was like, I didn't know.
He's like, I have bad news to tell you.
I know. It's like, I hate to be the one to tell you.
Did you know that Mark Twain is a problem?
Twain is a racist.
He's a racist.
No, he's not. We know he's not. Just
we know
full
he's
disclosure.
Not. Yeah, we're just japing.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. Well, let's get into this movie.
Yes. Oh, and up at the top, like I often preface with when I talk about Rosemary's Baby being one of my favorite movies, I always say, but we all know the director is a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
So we will. I'm not going to get into the minutia.
Because it's upsetting.
Yes, but it's also not alleged.
It's
convicted. But we know that the writer, director of this movie and the other three is a piece of garbage. And he's awful and disgusting. And especially as a mom and an educator, I'm like, ugh, repulsed.
Yeah.
And I hate his guts. But we do think that Justin Long is a national treasure and he's in this movie. So I I just wanted everyone at the top to know that
we're not fans of the director. We enjoy the film.
Yeah. So not in any way are we condoning or supporting or whatever. We are just talking about the movie and the creature that's in it and how it's kind of scary. And we just like the cast as well. But it's a small cast. It's very small, yes. Obviously, with like the two main characters. That's it. But let's see. So let's get started. This came out, as I mentioned, in 2001. And it opens with a remote scene in a classic car with two young college-age kids driving. Derry and Trisha are driving back from a college for break. The young Justin Long, who's playing Derry, is driving. And he's chatting and listening to evangelical radio, and he's bickering with Trisha, who's actually his sister, and they're just like really, really close and kind of, you know, give each other shit and, you know, ball bust, and they're kind of, they're fun. So they're driving along and they see a large camper, and it turns off suddenly as they're driving, but they are also playing a game based on when you look at license plates and you have to make something kind of like a catchy phrase out of it, and you get points as they're driving. It's something that you do just kind of pass the time on long drives that right. are boring. So then the large camper turns off, and suddenly there's a large old looking truck that pulls up behind them. It's very rusted and scary. You can barely see in the windshield. You don't really know what or who or whatever is driving it, and it starts honking and terrorizing them. Trisha yells at him to move so he can pass, and then you see they're kind of like just, you know, terrorized for a long portion of the highway.
And they're like swerving back and forth, and like it's just laying on the horn, and it's enormous. Like it's like twice as tall as their vehicle, and just like this big rusty like Hulk that's right on their bumper.
Yeah, and the horn isn't like a honk honk. It's like
It sounds like a train horn almost. Yeah,
it's weird. So finally she's like, move, and they kind of manage to swerve out of the way finally, and the license plate says beating you, which is, I always find annoying, like weird things I get annoyed with in movies. You know this though. Like, how did he get the personalized license plate anyway? So
did he go down to the DMV? Like,
what? Yeah, he filled out the form, wrote a little check, sent it to the state.
He keeps his registration current.
I know. So they talked about a couple that went missing there, and they're like, remember this happened, you know, 100 miles from here. And they say that the boyfriend and girlfriend, and she was decapitated. And it's like kind of like an urban legend that they
like reference. A cautionary tale.
Yeah, cautionary tale. Derry is like, it happened, but, you know, it happened 100 miles away. We're fine. But Trisha is like leery of being in the area at all. So the two of them bicker, and then they have a side of the road bathroom break, and they see the weirdo license plate drive slowly as they're driving, and then they see a figure out next to it's like an abandoned church with boarded up windows and all these crows. Is it crows or ravens?
Like, I don't know. I don't think that you can tell the difference just in passing like that.
Yeah, but
the difference between them are pretty minute.
Yeah, there's a bunch of like blackbirds. They're all there, and this creep, I don't know what he is. He has a dark coat and he has a hat, and he's throwing something that looks like a body wrapped in a sheet and rope and down a big pipe right next to the church. And they're like, what the heck? What the fuck is that? And then he stops what he's doing, looks at them, and then he starts chasing them in his very souped up truck. It's kind of for chasing people and terrorizing this truck he has. He rear ends them as they drive as fast as they can, and they end up being driven off the road and into a field. The back of their car is pretty smashed up, and he has to kind of tie the trunk closed with his pink underwear, which is a reference to he talked about how he had to bring a bag of dirty clothes back to his mom, otherwise she gets depressed. And she's like, why don't you do them at school? And he's like, well, because they mess with you and dye your clothes pink. And then we're like, obviously that happened to him because he had to wear pink. So then they're about to go on their way, and Derry, he wants to go check out that pipe and where the guy was dumping that suspicious stuff. Trisha, she wants to leave, and she's like, you just want to go see whatever nasty things at the end of that pipe.
You gross boy.
You nasty boy. And she tries to talk him out of it. She seems like the more sensible one, like, let's just get the fuck out of here, basically. But Derry makes an argument, and he's like, what if it was you at the end of that pipe? What if somebody needs help? Like, we need to go back and check it out and see what was going on. Yeah.
I think that's interesting, like the gender element there, like especially like behavior in like threatening or dangerous situations where women have to be so much more cautious and guarded and aware for their personal safety, where a man can kind of be like, well, I don't know, I'm fine, like nobody's gonna. And so he's got like the hero, not macho, but like he's focused on like, you know, what if somebody needs help? What if that person's still alive down at the bottom of that pipe? We have to go back and check. And she's like, no, I'm not going to put myself in that situation. We'll go call somebody.
Go call the police.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. She's just not into it. And she's like, we'll go back, but I'm not getting out of the car.
Right.
Basically. So they go back to the church to check out the pipe. Derry wants to get a better look down that smelly ass pipe. And Trisha holds his feet as he attempts to hang down to get a better look. He thinks he sees some moving, and then he hears something or someone. And suddenly rats are running up the pipe, and Trisha loses her grip. Because also Derry is like, ah!
He's like kicking squirming his feet,
and kicking his feet. And then he ends up falling into that deep smelly hole. It's basically a big cave kind of thing, or pit
basement. Oh, at the bottom?
Yeah,
because the pipe is like, it's like a corrugated metal pipe that's probably like 3 or 4 feet in diameter. Like, yeah. It's a giant, it's not like a little pipe or whatever.
Yeah,
he's able to go into it very easily.
Yeah. So Derry is pretty pissed. He gets up and he's like, thanks a lot, Trisha.
And she dropped
like,
me.
She's like, Derry, okay? He wakes up and his shirt is all torn, revealing his little rose tattoo around his belly button.
Aww.
And then he is looking and feeling like the situation is pretty dire. He, at the top of the pipe, Trisha's like, how are you going to get out of there? What are you going to do? And Derry sees the thing that was wrapped in the sheet and the rope. He carefully approaches it and it grabs him and he's like, ah! And he's freaking out a little bit. And he takes the sheet off of whatever it is, and it's a young man, and he has purple lips trying to speak to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's revealed that his chest is all crudely sewn up.
Mm-hmm.
Something has been removed, maybe, or something injured, obviously, grief, you know, like it's bad.
Yeah.
He whispers in Derry's ear and Derry yells at Trisha to go get help, flag someone down, and he will attempt to find a way out because he's like, the church is over here.
This has got to be the basement or something.
I can find my way out. So while down there, while he's like looking around trying to find a way out, he sees that bodies are all over the ceiling and there's piles of bodies and sheets. There's tools. And then he sees the couple that had been disappeared. They were disappeared. And he knows this because he sees a ring and it says kind of who they were in the year.
Yeah.
And then the woman had her head decapitated and it was sewn back on. And they were like crudely sewn together. And he touches them and kind of is like, they've been like weirdly embalmed or whatever, like preserved. They all look like kind of wax figures.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like bones and, where it's rotting. It's just, they look really frozen in time.
Yeah. Well, and they're like the way that they're covering the ceiling and everything, it kind of reminded me like of in Alien movies when, they cocoon the people to put the alien embryos in them and they have them like all over the walls and ceiling, except obviously these people had no cocoons on them or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't even really tell how they were adhered to the walls and the ceiling. It was just like, and then that kind of made it creepier.
A lot of Gorilla Glue. No, it's definitely creepy and alarming. So he's ready to get out of there. Pretty
he's
much.
Like, you know what? I don't love this
he's
place.
Like, ah! So meanwhile, Trisha's at the car and there's a freak out kind of moment where she thinks that the scary truck that's approaching again and she can't get her car into shift, but it's a farm truck. It was kind of a psych out.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, Derry is at the car and he's at the window and he looks really upset and shook,
mm-hmm.
basically. He's like, oh, staring into space. They leave and go to a local diner and ask for the police to be called. The phone starts ringing. It's a payphone. And the voice on the other end asks if they have seen the cats yet. And she knew about where they've been. She said Derry found its house of pain. She said, you have to listen to this song. And it's like the Jeepers Creepers song, but the old one. And she tells Derry that if he hears that song, that he has to run. And she's just saying all kinds of weird stuff to him. Mm-hmm. And he's like, fuck you, lady, and hangs up.
Yeah, but she says, you have a tear in your shirt right above a rose tattoo, and you have a hurt hand. And she
describes him.
And she knows their names. And so she has, like, all this information. And Derry's like, what the fuck? Like, how do you know this? Who are you? Who is this? And
yeah. And, you know, watching it now again, I kind of think maybe he could have been, like, that was maybe the driver of the truck, like, messing with him. And maybe not, like, you're just, like, trying to frighten, scare the shit out of us. And what are you trying to do? Like, what's your angle? So
That's true. And that's, again, that would play on your gender assumptions, because you would think that, like, it was a woman on the phone, and you wouldn't think that the woman would be, like, that, especially since they saw the figure, like, taking the, you know, body and putting it down the pipe and everything, where it was definitely, like, a large hulking person. So that might, like, you might not make the connection that the person on the phone was that mm-hmm. person.
Yeah.
But...
so, but he's like, fuck you, lady, and hangs up because she sounds really kind of cuckoo. The cops get there and he tells them everything. Then the cops don't really believe him. And then they notice Derry's dirty clothes are thrown all over the parking lot. There was a creature or a creeper that was seen by the locals at the diner. They're like, what the fuck is that?
Like smelling... someone was out there at your car.
Yeah. The waitress is like, he was smelling your clothes and looked like he was like really liking it. and there's also a handprint that was dusted somehow, already all dusty, on the door handle. And that is also strange. The cops find out that the church, as they're driving, it's radio. They're following Derry and Trisha somewhere. I'm not sure. Maybe back to the church. I imagine
they were going to the police station at that point, but I don't know if they were.
So they're driving, and the cops find out through their radio that the church that they said to go to is completely set on fire. And and they also said that skin on the door handle was dead skin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how did they find that out so fast?
But yeah, whatever. Their lab, their podunk backwoods lab is super fast in its turnaround.
They're like, CSI.
They're like, we have nothing else to test.
Yeah, exactly.
they're in the lab, like, tasting it a little bit.
They're like, that's dead skin. That's dead skin. So as the police are following Derry and Trisha, they're freaking out as they're listening to the radio because it's Jeepers Creepers, another song. I think it's played by... covered by Susie and the Banshees or something. Okay,
yeah, like some modern song.
Jeepers, creepers. And he's like, what the fuck is that? it's playing on the radio, and Derry's like trying to explain to Trisha all like wildly because he's very upset. Like, she said that was like, playing on the radio, oh my God. And Trisha's like, you need to calm down. And she's driving and he's having a little freak out. And at the same time, we see the creeper on top of the police car, and the police are being attacked. The police car suddenly stops and is kind of like thrown to the side of the road. And then Derry and Trisha finally realize something is amiss with the police car, and they also stop to check out what's happening because they're like fully in sibling argument. And then they look up and they're like, what's going on? So they get out, and Trisha's starting to approach, and Derry's like, get away from the car, get away from the car, because there's something in the driver's seat. And then he notices, or one of them notices, I can't remember actually who it was, that there was the police officer's head in the middle of the road. Mm-hmm. So the creeper comes out of the car, and Trisha and Derry have run back to the car, and they have shut their doors, but they're just like kind of frozen.
They don't try to drive away. They just like get back in the car and then watch from inside the car.
Yeah, and it's like they can't break your way. Like, look away and go. They're just like just wanting to see what the hell this is. The creeper picks up the head, and he somehow like mouth kisses the head and
rips the tongue out.
Yeah. And they are watching in horror, and Derry finally get the fuck out. We got to get the fuck out of here. We got to go. And then finally Derry and Trisha take off, and they stop at a house to ask and see if they can use the phone. Mm-hmm. And it's a random like farmhouse kind of in the sticks, and there's really no one else around.
It seems pretty empty. Pretty like late at night at this point, because like the first whole part of the movie is just like broad daylight. Yeah. You know, when
it's
a
bright sunny day, which is like really... would be something where it wouldn't feel as scary, but it was pretty scary anyway.
Yeah, it was like almost the contrast between like what was happening in the daytime. And then like at some point when they're in the diner, like between getting the phone call and the cops, like night fell. And so now we're in like the very like scary dark setting when the creeper attacks the cars. And then when they see him standing in the road kissing the head.
Yeah, so it's and it's all dark now, and they or we're like, well, maybe they have a phone, I don't know. And there's there's a lot of fields, there's scarecrows, it's mm-hmm. a farm, basically, in a farmhouse, and they encounter an old woman, and they ask if she has a phone, and she's like, I don't have one, and she's like, they get too much in my business, and she's like,
they tell me how many cats
how many of my babies I can have, and then I almost said Justin Dare, I was like, how many babies do you have?
She's like, oh, don't you mind,
yeah. two, a few, couple. I got a couple.
And she is, we have to mention, she is Eileen Brennan, who yeah. is Mrs. Peacock.
Who we love her.
Yeah.
Very much. So turns out she has a lot of cats. And then Derry's like, we have to go. Basically, because the other on the phone, she's like, have you been to the place with all the cats?
Yeah. Yet? Have you seen the cats?
Have you seen all the cats? He's like, we got to go. Because it's like, as this is all kind of coming to fruition, different things that she mentioned are being recalled by him.
He thought it was like, he heard the song and now he sees the cats and he's like, oh my God.
He's like crazy rambling. He's like, what are you like? He's like, oh my God, there's cats. We got to get the hell out of here. So Derry says, we have to leave. And because he's remembered what that woman has told him on the phone. And suddenly the lights go off and all the cats are pretty confused. We see all these more and more cats. They're like, meow, meow, meow. Mr. Whiskers and Mr. Mittens and I don't know. And the creeper shows up. And it's in front of her scarecrow. And the cat lady is like, get the hell out of here. And she takes her shotgun out and she shoots the creeper. And she's pissed. She's like, what did you bring into my house? Yeah. And she like hits Derry in the gut or in the nuts somewhere. Not great.
Below the belt.
Yeah, with the shotgun. And Trisha's trying to help him, you know, off the ground as he's like moaning and groaning. And it's gone into her house and she's all pissed and she like runs inside to protect her babies. Suddenly, and the house is all dark and there's suddenly blasts of the shotgun, a few, and the woman can be seen on the, it's like a completely enclosed porch, and which is where you see that character in the first place.
Mm-hmm, and the screens.
Yeah. And there we can see that she's kind of dying and she's struggling and the creeper has her by the neck. Is holding her up.
Mm-hmm.
Derry and Trisha run to the car and they take off and they manage to do some tricky driving. The car is stuck in reverse. Trisha manages to get the car into drive and she tries to hit the creature, but it just keeps jumping and evading their car over and over. Like they keep Spider-Man. Trying to hit it. Yeah. And he's all like leering at them. And this is when you get a really good look at him.
Yeah. I think like they said that the first time he's like fully revealed, or at least his face, is when you see him holding up, like, because he's holding up the cat lady in front of him. Mm-hmm. And then he like moves her to the side and you see his face like really clearly. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I read about it actually was that was supposed to be the one point in the movie that he spoke.
Yeah.
Like he was only going to have one line. Mm-hmm. And they ended up deciding that it was scarier to have it quiet. And so when I read about, that little piece of trivia, they were like, you know, if you look closely, you can still see the creeper's mouth saying the line, because evidently you're supposed to say, she doesn't smell too good, Darius.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, after I read that, I like rewatched it and I'm like, no, he's not like his, you can't tell that he's saying anything. Like that's a total, it's a hooey. It was complete hooey.
It's an urban legend.
It was a cautionary tale.
It's a cautionary tale. He looks like a gargoyle in his face.
He does. He really does look. That's a good thing to equate to. So, yeah, you're seeing, like, him, his whole physical, you know, his stature. And he's clearly very nimble and with, like, supernatural agility and everything. Because he's just, like you said, he was, like, leering at them. And then when they go at him with the car, he just, like, do-do-do-do-do, just runs across it. And then
he just jumps over him and...
Yeah. Jokes on you, Batman.
Yeah. It's really... They're like, the car going back and forth. Getting the car into gear. And as someone who learned how to drive a standard stick shift, and that was my car for a long time as a young adult.
Same. My
I'm
first
like,
car
I can
was...
relate. Trying to get your car in the first gear, and you're like...
Yeah, evidently the actress Gina Phillips, she didn't know how to drive stick when she got this role. They had to give her lessons.
Well, you can tell.
Yeah.
As much as she's like grinding it. I'm like, oh God, that like hurts me. Hurts my brain listening to that. So it just like... keeps evading him. Finally, Trisha's like just mad and she's like, hold on. And then she manages to run him, finally hit the creature, and she runs over back and forth. Mm-hmm. And she's like, fuck you! Like, back and forth, like smushing it up.
Well, because doesn't he, Derry goes like, do you think it's dead? And she goes, they never are.
They never are.
And she
dead.
Keeps running over it.
But the creeper does look dead. It looks like roadkill, basically, but it's not. because we see a big, huge wing flap up, flap around, and then go back down. So whatever's going on with the creeper, he's injured, but still alive.
But it still almost seems like, because the wing flapping almost seems like death throes, like his last attempt at like a struggling. And then when that wing collapses, I kind of think that like, I felt like I was
psych out.
Yeah. Well, I was meant to believe based on that, that he really was dead. And obviously it's a horror movie and it would be over if he actually was. But yeah, it was kind of like a flap. Oh, and then it collapses and there's like no more movement.
Yeah. And then they run over it again when they're leaving.
Yep. Just to be safe.
So Darian and Trisha finally get to the police station and they check in with their mother. And finally the town crazy / psychic arrives and introduces herself to Trisha and Darian. I think, what was her name?
Giselle.
And they're like, oh, Jez, leave those poor kids alone. Like, apparently the whole police station knows her.
Yeah, he said, he goes, like, she helped us out on a case, like, years ago, and, like, now they can't get rid of her.
Yeah. So she introduces herself. She tells them that she saw the cellar and saw them with the cats. She tells them that every 23rd spring, the creature comes out to eat, and whatever it eats becomes a part of it. She says that it terrorizes people on the road to smell their fear and like see if it likes any part of the human being.
If they have that it wants.
Yes. Which reminds me of another creature that likes smelling fear when, you know, being terrorized.
Well, yeah, so there's a lot of, some might call them homages, some might call them ripoffs.
Straight up ripoffs. Outside the police station, the creature arrives and you see his license plate beating you, and the creature or the creeper comes out, and he's all hobbling in.
He's a mess.
Yeah. And that was in the parking lot, and suddenly inside the police station, the lights and all the phones go off. The emergency lights come on, and Darian and Trisha are worried. The police check on different inmates in their cells, and one of the police officers encounters the creeper eating one of the cellmates, and all the cellmates are like sitting there like in fear, like, oh my god. The ones who are realizing what's going on, some are just,
I love them, they're like all flattened up against the wall like over there.
So that's what we see, wherever that is, the holding cells and all that stuff. And one of the police officers finally tells Trisha and Derry, we're going to escort you to one of the holding rooms just to get you into safety because something weird is happening, basically. The crazy lady, Jez, tells them, you need to go because I saw you in that room and nothing good happens.
Yeah.
And the entire police station is waiting for whatever this creature is to emerge. And as they're, you know, waiting, they're being radioed about what is happening. And they're like, it has body armor. It's climbing on the side of the walls. We're shooting at it and nothing's happening. And
loud noises.
And so the police, everyone's waiting. They have their firearms out there waiting for this whatever it is to come out and emerge. And it manages to get a hold of one of the police officers and rip his heart clean out.
Yeah, I do love that, like, you know, it was like all dramatic with the light shining through the like hole straight through his chest. And like, you know, he's, you know, in his death moments or whatever, but you see and hear him like take a breath. I'm like, he couldn't take you're showing us
police officer,
a hole through his entire, like, the center mast of his torso, this hole like 10 inches across, and as he's like dying, he like takes this breath. I'm like, okay,
is that not, he still has lungs,
not where that hole was.
Well, one of them.
As someone whose lung has collapsed, you wouldn't be able to breathe normally.
Doctors, tell us.
Is this possible?
In your death throes, can you go like this?
But that's the thing. It was just a normal breath. It should have been him being like, you know, like struggling to. But it doesn't. It's just a normal final breath. I'm like, okay, officer. Officer full of shit.
He's like, my time to shine.
He's like, I keep my lungs up in my shoulders.
Yes.
So.
Okay, so it's been, that guy is killed. And
then, he's definitely dead.
So Darian and Trisha, they try to escape, and the doors are all locked, though, because it's on lockdown and the power is out. Finally, Darian asks Jez, like, who was killed? Darian was like, you know, you say someone's screaming and listen to Jeepers Creepers, who, you know, like,
who's screaming?
Who is it? Who is it? And then she doesn't say it. She's like, well, it's not always Ryan. She's trying to make him not feel like total shit, basically. Well, no,
because she turns and looks at Trish. Like, oh. when he's like, you know, who is it? She turns and looks at Trish. And that's when Derry starts screaming, like, are your dreams ever wrong? Are your dreams ever wrong? Mm-hmm. Because, like, by the way she looks at Trish, you think she's saying that it's Trish who's screaming.
Yeah. That's not what I thought. I thought it was like he realized that it was him.
But it, maybe no, he doesn't, because it. That was supposed to be the whole fake out, because the final girl concept, like, oh, it was supposed to be her, because actually that was an intentional thing where they the director, our piece of shit director, didn't like how so many victims in horror movies were always women, mm-hmm. and so he made the majority of the creepers' victims male.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. So, but either way, he realizes, like, one of them, someone will be killed. Like, mm-hmm. This is not, like, something we're going to get, go back and laugh about it kind of thing. So then they try to run, Trisha and Derry, they run away from the creeper. The creeper comes and smells Jez and leaves her alone, because she's not that enticing to him. She doesn't
have anything he wants.
Yeah. So then finally the creeper gets a good sniff of both of them and is looking and sniffing them. And it's just very, like, it feels like kind of like a Alien, where it's like all up in your face, mm-hmm. or like a Jurassic Park, where like there's like a
really close,
yeah, really close dinosaur, like something that's horrifying next to your face.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's pretty awful. And then just the flicking where I'm like, yeah, get away, gross.
Mm-hmm.
And the creeper throws Trisha to the side. He doesn't want Trisha, and it has Derry, and it looks horrendous, and we see it in all its glory. It looks like a weird lizard, reptilian, ghoul, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like a weird kind of golem kind of creature. And it has like these weird kind of tentacle looking things, like alien also,
mm-hmm.
Over its face.
Yeah.
And the cops show up with a bunch of guns and stuff, and they're like ready to like shoot it or something, whatever it is. And Trisha tries to get the creeper to take her instead. She's like, take me. You don't want him. You want me. And it looks like it's thinking for like a second, but then it's like, nah. And then it takes off with Derry out the window, like just sort of blast out the window with his gigantic wings and out into the moonlight, mm-hmm. basically. Trisha runs after her brother, and she's looking at the sky, kind of standing there, shocked, looking into the sky as her brother's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So then the following morning, Trisha is waiting in the police station, and Giselle comes back. Trisha asks, are your visions ever wrong? And she tries to comfort Trisha by saying, you know, I'm just a crazy old woman. You know, you never know.
Ask anybody. Yeah.
You know, and she just feels really, really bad, basically. Because I think she tries to intervene, tries to change the events of what would happen. But she was, in the end, was not successful in that.
Mm-hmm.
So at another location, it seems like it's an abandoned factory of some kind. We hear a screaming Derry. And then you see the creeper hard at work in his workshop, listening to his little gramophone of Jeepers Creepers.
Which was totally, like, Insidious when the demon has, like, the Tiny Tim playing while he's, like, sewing with his sewing machine.
I know, tiptoe in the phone. I like that one more than Jeepers Creepers.
Yeah.
But now the creature, you see Derry, he's very long dead. His eyes are gone and the back of his head is gone.
Mm-hmm.
The creature now has Derry's eyes, and there is a sad, you know, dead brother who will never be returning to his sister.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end of Jeepers Creepers. Aww. Poor Justin Long.
Poor Justin Long. Such a waste.
Well, he made movies after that.
He was resurrected.
Yeah, he was resurrected. So, did you think it was scary?
That's a good question. I actually think that I did think it was fairly scary the first time that I saw it. It's just like with any movie, the circumstances that you're watching it under and like how closely you're paying attention and how invested you are is going to make you more susceptible to being frightened by the elements that they try and make frightening. And so I think that if it was like dark, quiet room, focused, invested in the movie, it would be pretty scary. now watching it, you know, it's a little goofy, it's a little hokey. Mm-hmm. But I still think that it's really enjoyable, like we like to say, even if we're not scared by it. It's like it's fun and entertaining to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you think it was scary?
I saw it in the theater.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't think it. I was like, oh, my gosh, that was terrifying. But I was like, oh, that was fun. I didn't leave the theater being like, what a waste of time.
Yeah, what a piece of crap.
I know. I thought it was really fun. I really liked Justin Long. He was kind of our age, you know, like.
Yeah, you know, they said he was like 22 when he made this.
Yeah, so he's a handful of years older than us, but mm-hmm. like when a person that we would probably watch and be like, that could be us.
Yeah.
You know, walking or driving back from college or whatever, because mm-hmm. I just graduated high school so mm-hmm. when I watched it. And I really thought the brother and sister element was really fun. Mm-hmm. I liked that they gave each other a lot of crap, but, you know, really loved and cared for each other a lot. You know, in the end, and kept trying to like protect each other.
Right.
So that was really fun. And I thought the creature was like, terrifying and looked like a demon kind of, but yeah. At that time I was like, oh, he's just scary, I don't know, he looks like creepy and gross.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh, he reminds me of this, he reminds me
yeah,
of that.
Yeah.
But I remember liking it a lot. Now I just watch it for nostalgia, you know. I'm yeah. like, oh, it's fun. I showed Charlotte the first like 20 minutes, but she had to go to do something, I can't remember what, but she's like, oh, this is scary, and mm-hmm. And she's like, what are you dumping down that pipe? And I'm like, you'll see. And,
yeah.
But she'll watch the movie the rest later. So
nice.
Was it scary the first time I saw it in the theater? Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. And now I think it's just a fun, fun movie.
Yeah.
I do have to say, though, that I had remembered this. I learned about this actually a while ago, but had forgotten until I have to remember. I don't remember the title of the video I watched on YouTube, but they talked about this actually being the first chunk of the movie was actually a true story, right? Is that what you're going to talk about?
Yeah, that's one of the things that I had read okay. about that I have. So it says,
well, I forgot. And then I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had no idea until just getting ready to record today. It said the real experience of Ray and Marie Thornton. While driving on Snow Prairie Road near Coldwater, Michigan, while driving, a van appeared in their rearview mirror, driving aggressively and ultimately passing them. They made a note of the license plate, which started with GZ, and so they made the joke of, geez, he's in a hurry. Uh-huh. Sometime later, they approached an abandoned schoolhouse and saw the same van parked to the side of the building. They witnessed a man holding what appeared to be a bloody sheet. And then soon after, the van appeared behind them again and stayed behind them for more than 2 miles. They turned off and the van passed them. And it turned out later that what they didn't know at the time is they had just witnessed a man named Dennis Depew, who had just murdered the body of his wife, and he was dumping her body. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, shit, because I was thinking this was another good example, like we've talked about a couple of times, about that first chunk of a movie being the scariest element. And so that, like, by itself, that little micro, like, experience of being terrorized on the road and then seeing the guy and seeing him, like, with what looks like a body and then having him come after you again, like, just that little snippet of the movie is, like, really scary just standing alone. And so it's kind of funny that it was based on an actual event.
Yeah. And who of us have not actually had to drive out in the middle of nowhere with like your significant other or a sibling or whatever? And mm-hmm. you're like, the hell is going on here? Like,
yeah.
you know, anything can happen to you and you're far away from any kind of help.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real thing that could be kind of, you know, scary for some people.
Yeah, definitely. And it's interesting that when you were talking about the sibling dynamic, because that was an intentional choice to make them siblings instead of like a couple or something, because they didn't want the like any sexual tension or any like romantic ideas that the viewer might have about like, oh, are they together? Were they together? Are they going to get together? Do they love each other? Like any of that distracting from their reactions to the creeper. And mm-hmm. so that's why they wanted them to be siblings, so that there wouldn't have been any like romantic confusion
yeah.
in all of the emotions everybody was having.
Unless you're a Targaryen.
Targaryen, yeah.
Not interested
no,
in my brother
thank you.
Or my sister.
So another thing, like you mentioned the similarity to Pennywise. In that whole, the creeper comes out every...
Tasty, tasty fear. I only thought of that because I watched it in the past 6 months with Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, tasty, tasty fear. And he's like, oh, it likes the fear. I'm like, oh, what?
Yeah. But like the cyclical thing too, because Creeper comes out every 23 years for 23 days to feed. And we know that Pennywise, his was like, what, 27 or whatever. Mm-hmm. In the book, they made it 30 in the first movie, and then they would put it back to 27 for the remakes. But that was evidently, like, I kind of thought initially, like, well, that's just kind of a ripoff. It's evidently was some sort of homage, as was the fact that Derry's name was Derry.
Oh, okay.
Because Derry, Maine, is the town that it takes place in, for anybody that doesn't know.
Like, what come on, people. I don't know. Darius, Derry.
Let's see. I had a couple of other notes. Oh, I already mentioned about his one line that was supposed to be in there. And then, oh, the line, the role of the Creeper was actually originally written for Lance Henriksen, who's like one of my, you know, favorite actors in Alien and all, because he had made Pumpkinhead, where he was like, you know, kind of like a weird, grotesque creature. And that's what I kind of think is interesting about this, because, you know, the other movies that we've done in this summer project have all been essentially slashers, whereas this one's really a monster movie. Like, it ends up, you know, at the beginning, you don't know that you're dealing with a monster. You think you're just dealing with like a psychopath, you know, or a serial killer or something. And then they start to reveal like some of the supernatural abilities, and then you see the wing and you see his face and you're like, okay, it's a monster movie. Because the part at the end where he's holding Derry and they like burst out the window and leave was actually supposed to be like how Swamp Thing or Creatures from the Black Lagoon or something like that would abduct their victims. And his face kind of had that vibe to me, like not fish like, but kind of Creature from the Black Lagoon looking.
Yeah, and he had all these, like, sharp little teeth.
Yeah, like, little tiny sharp teeth. And then at the end, when his, like you mentioned, it's the only time that we see it is that final scene before he abducts Derry, where it's, like not really tentacles, because they're kind of, they're rigid. They're, like, bones that, like, open up from his face with, like bat wings, kind of, with, like, the membrane in between them and everything. Or evidently, they worked really hard to try and make that element not look like Predator. Because I guess the original iterations of that part of the creature's face looked too much. They felt like the Predator's mouth, how it opens up. And so they tried to make it very different. But the way that it ended up looking to me, again, looked very much like Swamp Thing or Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
And then he was just he was monstery. You know, and that there's like kind of a purity to that, you know, that any classic monster movie, it's like they're just bad. Like they don't need.
There's just no negotiating.
No. And there doesn't need, like, this one kind of has a story, but we don't know where it came from. It's not, you know, a demon. We need the Catholic Church and we have all this dogma or whatever. And it's not, you know, a serial killer or a person with all of these issues. It's just a monster.
And it just wants to eat you.
Yeah. And that simplicity makes it scary in a different way. Because and I think we were kind of talking about this previously, too, where that idea that you're a serial killer has no like specific target there. It's just anybody can be a victim. And so you feel less safe because it's not like, oh, well, he wouldn't kill me because I'm not blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, this person or this evil entity or whatever can attack anyone. And it doesn't have to, you don't have to have done anything to deserve it or be connected in any way. Anybody can be a victim. And a monster is kind of the same way, like that nobody would be safe. Yeah. Anybody could be a victim.
Do you just smell nice and tasty?
Yeah, you're delicious.
It's all like, who can say?
Yeah.
And the monster's the only one who would choose.
And that was actually supposed to be too, because at the beginning, I don't know if you remember noticing that when they're first driving, Trish has a pair of glasses that she's like kind of toying with. Like, she's never wearing them in the movie, but she has a pair of glasses that she's like holding and toying with at the beginning. And so in theory, that's supposed to be why he wanted Derry's eyes and not hers. Because like, she has bad vision and Derry doesn't or something.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. There was like, when I was reading through you know, just like little facts and tidbits about it. There was some stuff that almost seemed a little bit like a reach. Like, you don't know where this trivia always comes from. Like, what's the source for this? Because there's another thing that was like, oh, her eyes looked green in the beginning of the movie, but as it got closer to the end, they were brown so that they would be like the same color as Derry's to show the connection between brother and sister. I'm like, give me a fucking break. Like, I think we're digging a little deeper.
So I wrote a thesis about Jeepers Creepers.
Oh, what if somebody did?
Oh, well, whatever.
Yeah, no, thank you.
What I was going to say. Oh, well, here's a question. Okay. If you were driving and you saw what that couple saw, mm-hmm. would you stop and go back? Or you'd be like, nope, we're calling the police. We're not going to go investigate.
That's a good question. I think
before the age of cell phones, let's pretend you don't have a phone.
Okay, see that? I was going to say that.
You don't have a phone or you don't have service. No service. Yeah. You have to go find a gas station.
Because they did. Derry had a cell phone, but it was dead. So they didn't have that. And the other thing is that they were in an unreliable vehicle. So all of those are factors that you would kind of take into account when making that decision. And one of the things that would make me more likely to do it was the fact that it was broad daylight. It wasn't when they were turning to go back and they showed you the whole landscape of that, because they at that point they were off in the field because they'd been ridden off the road.
Yeah.
Like, you can see in the sky that it's starting to get later in the day. Like, it's a little bit dusky.
It's like seems like 4 o'clock.
Yeah. Something like it's later. Still daylight. But I think one of the things you'd be thinking, like, you kind of expect this movie to have the line like, Derry, it's going to be dark soon.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're not going back. Yeah. Because it was still daylight the whole time they were at the church before mm-hmm. they went to the diner. It doesn't get dark until they're at the diner. But I think I would go back. I think I would. I don't know if I would climb into the pipe.
I'd probably be like, nope, smells weird.
Yeah.
I'm not going in there.
Well, and like, Derry does think that he hears a voice. Like, yeah, at first, he hears something, well, and then Trish doesn't believe him, and then there's something again, she hears the second one. I kind of thought it sounded like a girl initially, and because the only person it could be would be the guy that he found, because that's the only thing living down there. Mm-hmm. And it didn't, like, that guy couldn't really talk.
Maybe he made him groaning or something.
Yeah.
Something. But I remember, when I watched it last night, there was a noise.
Yeah.
Or something.
But, yeah, twice.
Yeah.
Would you go back?
I might do a drive-by. Is he gone? I don't know.
Yeah. Because he passes them. Like, he runs them off the road and then keeps going in that direction. Which is, like, otherwise, if he had been headed back to the house, there's no way anybody would have. They wouldn't have.
Yeah.
But it's, like, the fact that he was still headed off in the other direction away from the church.
Yeah. I might go back to figure out where exactly it was so I could describe where it was.
Maybe.
To the authorities. Yeah. I'm a scared lady.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that I would go back and, you know, yell down the pipe. And I think, but even if I heard a voice like that or something, I don't know if I would climb into the pipe like Derry did.
Yeah. But there's also that feeling when you're young and you're in college of invincibility. And I'm like, maybe I would have jumped down there when I saw the movie in the first place. Let's go see.
I also don't think I would have screamed like he did at the rats, and started kicking and wiggling and everything. Like, I might have swatted them away, but he lost his shit.
Yeah, he's like, and then Trisha lost her grip on him because he was kicking her like a little baby feet.
Yeah.
And then he was like, thanks a lot, Trisha.
This is all your fault.
She's like, you wanted to hang down by your feet.
You're the reason we're here, asshole.
I know. Maybe Victor would want to go look.
You think?
I don't know.
Do you think it's maybe again, it's like a guy thing.
The guys feeling like they could go scope something out and be completely safe.
Yeah, or be Mr. Here. Because that's the thing, like, even if you know that you don't have a cell phone or a way to summon help from where you are, then going back implies that if the person is still alive, you'd be able to help them in some way. And I guess if they'd been able to get that person out and into their vehicle, then they could have taken that person to help.
Yeah.
In theory, mm-hmm. but it's just assuming that if there's somebody who needed help, that you would be able to provide said help. Where I think that she was looking at it as like, we got to leave this to the professionals.
Well, she's like, what are we going to do?
Yeah, what the hell are we going to do?
Yeah, it's not like they're pre-med.
Yeah.
Or maybe they probably, I feel like they would have mentioned it. Maybe I can help them. I've been
Pre-medding. I'm in sophomore biology.
I'm in flatliners. I'm in raising people from the dead.
That's amazing.
So I was going to watch the second one for this, but then ran out of time.
Have you ever seen it?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't rewatch it either, but I've seen it once. And
I remember thinking it was pretty good.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it was pretty good. And then I tried to watch the Reborn one and it was god awful terrible.
Okay.
But I was like, I cannot watch this. Yeah.
I've never tried the third one or Reborn. But I remember looking at the timeline of them because I was like, if it's supposed to come out every 23 years, how do we have four movies since 2001? But like, what I read was that Jeepers Creepers 2 is supposed to take place just a couple days after the events in Jeepers Creepers 1. And then the third one is actually supposed to take place between 1 and 2 in the timeline.
Oh, okay.
But then Reborn is supposed to take place in, like, it came out in 2022.
It was very, very, very bad.
Yeah, and so it didn't even really seem like it didn't connect with the canon.
Yeah, I was doing laundry, and I was like, I can't even have this on while I'm doing laundry. You went, yuck. This is very bad. Yuck. Sorry to the makers of it if you felt really proud of that project, but I couldn't do it.
I bet you they listen.
Yeah, they're probably really mad. Mm-hmm. I did watch also a video about the comic book. There was a comic book that made, but like in the teens, 2018, 19.
Okay.
And there's like different fans that they're like, how could we kill the creeper? Mm-hmm. Basically, it's not killable, you know, because if you just chop a head off, it'll just regenerate. So I have to give credit to the video, but this is not like my own ideas at all, but it's like a Jason kind of situation, like encase it in cement and put it in the deepest part of the ocean.
Oh yeah.
Or like put it in a rocket and send it to the sun.
Put it in Ed and Lorraine Warren's relic room.
Yeah. Something. So I thought that was kind of funny. I'm like, how would you kill the creeper? Like, what would you do to make it not able to terrorize people anymore?
I feel like fire is always the way to go. Like, if you reduce something to ash, mm-hmm. how can it regenerate?
Yeah. Or like,
it can't eat the pieces it needs if it's ash.
True. Or will it burn? Will it burn or not?
Maybe it won't burn. Maybe that's the thing.
Oh, is it like, maybe if I'm spoiling this, but Mike Myers, where you like, put him in the churner? Put him in the wood chipper.
Yeah. Well, because then you think of like, oh, well, that's why the T-1000 in Terminator 2 was indestructible because it was liquid metal. So you could like explode it into a million tiny pieces, but then they would just melt down and come back together and you know, go back to killing.
Yeah.
But it like, that's liquid metal. I didn't get the feeling that was really the creeper's makeup.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think would burn him.
Burn him.
Yep.
Katie votes burn him. I think that also in the comic, it was referenced as being some sort of weird ancient god of some kind.
And that might make sense, that it wouldn't even have to regenerate from the same physical matter, that it could just regenerate out of whatever.
Yeah.
Even if you destroyed the matter that made up its body at a given time, like you say, deity, it would be able to recreate itself.
Well, he made a crappy movie at the end, so
yeah. Anyway. Okay, well, I guess that puts a pin in our summer theme, or very briefly enjoyed summer theme of late 90s, early 2000s teen some ensemble cast movies.
Yes.
Yes, and yes, and yes, yes.
It was fun. I liked my favorite, I think, was Final Destination.
You, really?
I like the movie a lot. I think it's fun.
I don't know. I really like Urban Legends.
Oh, well, that one's a good one, too. So.
There's obviously a lot more. And we had quite a few other ones on the list that we talked about. But, you know, we didn't
have time.
Yep. We were faculty. Out of summer. Yeah, faculty, disturbing behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're really... I go back and watch. I'm like, ugh.
Yikes.
Yikes. And then I'm like, eh, it's kind of fun.
maybe somewhere down the road.
Yeah. Well, maybe. But for next time, we are talking about, it's Katie's pick.
Yay.
It's her back to school.
Back to school selection.
called The Gallows, released in 2015.
Yeah.
We're back to slightly more modern times.
A little bit, yeah.
But it was 9 years ago. That was actually a long time ago.
Yeah. So this is kind of a favorite of mine. It is set, the events of the movie take place in a high school. And so that's why it's our back to school pick. And it is found footage style. So I think it was one of the ones we considered including when we did our found footage summer, whatever year that was. But I love this movie. And Meredith has never seen it, so
yeah, I'm excited to see it.
It'll be a fun one.
I think that, I mean, we'll have to start kind of thinking more about Halloween theme stuff.
But spooky season.
Now that my daughter started high school this week, I feel like more, you know, I feel like she's more, I feel less guilty about showing her scary movies than like, oh, my poor baby. I'm like, am I ruining her?
Like, you're like, now you've seen some shit because you've been in high school.
Yeah. So I'm hoping I can get her to watch like the Blair Witch Project and other stuff that I thought was really scary and not sinister yet. That seems still kind of messed up to me.
Too much. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see.
She might. But, I mean, The Gallows, it's not inappropriate in any way. I think it's pretty scary, but she might like it.
Yeah. But back to, I was going to say this and I forgot about Jeepers Creepers and showing your kids. It's scary, you know, like I think the creature looks really terrifying. And yeah, so,
it's a monster.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So if you don't want to show your little kids who might be like feeling like they see the monster under their bed.
Yeah, this monster would definitely move into their closet if they were like 12 or younger.
So, I mean, even Deke, I don't think could handle it.
Yeah.
He'd be like terrified. But Charlotte was like, you know, like, ooh, what is this? So probably I would say 13 and up.
Yeah.
Maybe. Unless you're Katie's kids.
Yeah, I have not shown Grace this one, mostly because I think she would think it was stupid and not scary.
Oh, we'll just say it's a creature feature. It's like
there
a,
you
it's
go.
A little creature feature movie. But.
And we love Justin Long.
Yeah,
although
Justin
I don't
Long's
know.
A treasure.
I mean,
we
she's seen Mama, so she knows him from that. But like, I love, yeah, he was in a Die Hard movie. He was in Live Free or Die Hard.
Him.
I love him in that. I love him in Dodgeball. She loves him in Dodgeball.
He's so funny.
So, yeah, I think that I might be able to sell her on it just by Justin Long.
I looked him in Barbarian, even though he's a huge douche, but he's really funny.
That is what I said, Mama, and I meant Barbarian because the character in Barbarian is Mama. He's not in Mama.
Oh, I've never seen Mama, actually.
Oh, really? No, it's Nikolai, what's his name, from Game of Thrones, is the guy in Mama.
Oh, Mama. No, I have seen it.
Yeah.
See, I'm tripping.
And,
I have seen it.
It's not Bryce Dallas Howard. It's Jessica Chastain is the other one in Mama.
That one was good, actually.
Yeah, put it on the list.
Put it on the list. Okay. All right, bye.
Bye.